continuing to make the decision on being filled with the Spirit of God. You scared me. I want something to happen. I want to fall down with the same thing. We must be filled with the Spirit. There is no substitute. There is no way you can be fully in all of God and not be baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's a strong statement. But I believe the Word of God supports it. I believe it is God's commandment to us. Our text is, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I told you this morning that we also are looking at the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 19. And the reason that we're bringing this into our text and into our message is because Jesus said, everything that the Spirit of God does is for the glory of Christ. Isn't that right? I've said a lot of times, and I'm actually going to, in faith, back up on that a little bit. I'm looking for that text. I'm going to back up on that I don't speak very often in prophecies, but sitting in my home the other day thinking of that statement, I believe God checked me. I need to know what Revelation 1:19 is talking about. It is there that God gave John the Revelator the outline for what the book of Revelation is. He told him, he said, you write what was, what is, and what's going to be. Now, if we can bring ourselves down to humble ourselves to where we can say to God, you've given me the Spirit. And with that baptism, you who offered the Word of God can talk to me about this Word. I've said it, I'll repeat it. God said you must be filled with the Spirit. We're told to walk in the Spirit. How can you walk in the Spirit if you're not filled? We're told to pray in the Spirit. We're told that we overcome. If we do not have the Spirit of God, how can that kind of a work of God be done in us? We were talking about how the God is in the dream. I'm not going to go through all of those again. But when the earth was without form of God, God caused the Spirit to move upon the face of the dream. When man was lost, God had a plan to bring them back into redemption. When this world got in this worst shape ever, God sent the Holy Spirit. And that was the answer to everything that was going on in the world. When Jesus comes back to this earth, that will be the culmination. That will be the end. That will be the finish. The devil will forever be in hell. The church will forever be in the presence of God. And all because of the intervention of God. This morning in our message, I brought up some other things about the intervention of God. I believe that God wants to baptize us in the Holy Ghost so that He may have His way in our lives. If God is going to intervene in that way, God is going to intervene in the way that He described in His Word. You've got to come out from the man and be separate. There is no way that you can serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time. You can't walk in the Holy Ghost and walk in the flesh at the same time. The Lord of God only puts you in a hurry that the enemy of the Spirit of God is your carnality, your flesh, your humanity. Come out from among them. I didn't put it in this way, but I tried to follow the will of God this morning. The Bible says, train your children up the way that they should go. Do our children need any training? They sure do. But God gave the responsibility first to the parents. You have no greater audience, congregation. You have no greater one than your own home, your own household, your own children. God said, this is the way we are doing it. Right? When was the last time a parent sat down with a child and said, son, daughter, I want to go over some things with you that is in the Word of God. You can get all of them out of shape, honey, if you want to. But I'm doing this because God says, if I train you up in the way that you should go, when you get old, you will not depart from it. I'm taking my God-given responsibility. I'm going to show you from the Word of God how that you must walk before God. One thing that's greatly missing in the church today is we do not have very many people that are willing to stand up for God. We're not willing to take the unpopular position. I can tell you, when he said, come out from among them to be separate, he knew you wasn't going to be popular. Jesus, the very Son of God, he said, I am the Son of God. And they mocked him. They blasphemed him. They cursed him. All for the truth. I'm not asking us to pretend anything is the truth other than that which we've learned of God. We need somebody, lots of somebody, that will stand up for God in this generation. But you know why we can't do it? The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is always going to be weak. That's the reason God said, I give you power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's not popular to be a Christian. It's not popular to take a stand for God. But you better get that son in your daughter. You better hide the Word of God in their heart. You better put that strength that only comes by the Spirit in their life. Otherwise, you'll drive off from your house and leave them at home. It's not natural to any man to have a desire to go and hear from God. People that don't go to church, the reason they don't go is because they're not interested in that world. They're not interested in that lifestyle. I know that we love our children, but if you love your children, you're going to do what God said for you to do. Don't jump on them. Don't rebuke them. Don't curse them. I tell you what we need. We need a right spirit. What did Jesus do in Jerusalem? He wept. He wept. All of this blasting and cursing and damning and whatever is proven that it didn't get you very far. But he just said, speak the truth in love. That's in your Bible. Speak the truth in love. You can have a standard that is a great standard for your loved ones, your family, your children, your husband, your wife. But I tell you what, there's one thing proven in the life of Mary and Martha. When Jesus said to Martha, these things should you have done, right? What's the answer to that? And not mention all the things I've done. Martha was very careful with certain things. You can raise your children morally. You can raise them ethically. You can raise them honestly. Pay your bills. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Whatever. You can do that, but you can leave the other undone. That's what happened to Martha. These things you should have done, but do not leave the other things undone. I'm going to say something in just a minute about the TV ministry this week. But I was thinking at the house. My wife and I were never separated much anymore. Never were. We lived together 24 hours a day. But I was thinking when I was alone. The Bible says to the man of God, you preach the whole counsel of God to your Bible. Preach the whole counsel of God. Don't you leave anything out. I preached here on a Sunday morning. There was a lady that no longer goes here. Left out that door. I spoke to her when she was walking across the parking lot. She said, I didn't get anything out of what you said today. And I know that happens. But I had had three people stop me and tell me that was God talking through you directly to me. That whole counsel of God may not be popular with everyone. But I have a commission and a command from God. Preach all of it. Give it all. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be, as I said this morning, unafraid. And we need to understand what darkness is. So much today, we do not really understand light and darkness. Darkness. God said in the last days, darkness will cover the earth and cause darkness to people. That's where we are. I'm giving you a scripture. God said that the two children of darkness are wiser in their day than the children of light. You do know this is scripture I'm quoting to you. God himself warned us that there will come a darkness. A darkness, not just over the mind and over the eyes, but over the heart, over the spirit, over the things of God that are real. And the only thing that requires the light to shine is what moved on the face of the deep when it was out form of God. God caused the Spirit to move upon the face of the deep. In other words, God intervened. God intervened against that darkness. There's a lot more darkness today than what we imagine. Than what we. I said this morning, I'm enlarging on these things. Train up a child in the name of God. But what if the trainer is walking in darkness? What if the one with the learning and the wisdom is themselves in darkness? You cannot take one person one step deeper than you are yourself. I listen to a lot of people. It's very difficult to read them without reading or reading them from the Spirit. But I listen. I have to have it in me. I listen to Mr. Scorby reading the Word of God. I'm telling you that every one of us must be filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, lean not to your own understanding. You have to be beautiful to understand. Chosen, present, patent, loving. But you do not have your gift without God to train them in the ways of God. That takes that new creation. That takes that man or that woman that is gone farther than the throne of the saints and the devil. I want God to help me to say it to you so that we can understand why that we must be filled with the Spirit. The only way for anything is not by mighty power, but by the Spirit. How can we understand truth if we do not have an interpreter of truth? How can we understand truth when we do not have the interpreter of truth? I don't know how it works, and I know most of the time I'm wrong. But Brother Will argues to say that a man will say to me when the anointing of the Spirit is upon him that he wouldn't say otherwise. That's true. He said, all of this counseling that we do with people, most of it, they come to us when there's no anointing, where there's no boldness, there's not a whole lot of truth. But you see, when I'm anointed with the Holy Ghost, I will say to you, by and over that anointing, what I otherwise would not say. There are things that a preacher knows. The preacher's here tonight. Brother John, with my brother Charles, Brother Register, Brother Robert, some others. But you know what nobody tells you. You know what doesn't come into this ear. But when you are teaching by the anointing and with the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, you know when it, you may not know who it is, but you know when it's not being received. Why? Because what you're saying is life. What you're saying is truth. And anything that rejects that is not in favor of that truth. I know things. I'm not talking about a body posture, you know. Maybe you've got a backache, maybe your leg hurts. Maybe you're just old enough to be twisted. So you may not sit there and look me right straight in the eye. Don't you? You can preach certain things to a man, a woman, a youth, and you can tell by the way they sit. Am I right? You can tell by that look on the face. You can tell something is not being received. But you know what? If you're going to be a man of God, you're going to preach it anyway. The Bible says that through the foolishness of preaching, at the end of the life, he said, God didn't say foolish preaching, but through the foolishness of preaching. I remember the first time I went to church to really hear the gospel. My God, I thought I was the epitome of evil, meanness, wickedness, corruption. I mean, I'm guilty. Hello? I'm guilty. The man wasn't lying. He didn't know me. He was telling everybody exactly what it was. But he let me know that God exposed all of that to me. So he didn't want me necessarily to see myself at all. He wanted me to know that's the way God's going. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the baptism of the Spirit. We need understanding of what really happened on that day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God began to blow like a man. Last going to Russia in December 1991. The first Sunday in December of this year, I've been pastoring this church 25 years. Now let me throw this to you. If you want to know what it is to be humble, you be a preacher and call B.H. Clinton, because all you have to do is what Brother Clinton said, what Brother Clinton preached. Sometimes you just feel like you're just a dump or a pickle. I did not call myself to pastor this church. You think that I feel bad that people say that you ought to hear me talk about it. Don't you hear me? I'm in this pulpit. And I live in the fear of God. Let me tell you how some things sometimes work for certain people like me. When I was 18 years old, Brother and Sister Walsh left Jennings, Louisiana, and came over here to preach for the Bible class. We never seen him, never met him, never heard him. You remember Billy Cornwell? Billy Cornwell was the pastor of the church. There used to be a Wyatt's cafeteria. I remember these things. They make impressions on my thinking of my life. There was a Wyatt's cafeteria over here in Gateway Shopping Center. Do you remember it? I may have just turned 19. We're sitting there eating lunch with Brother and Sister Walsh, Brother and Sister Clinton. I believe we're into this level. I didn't even want to see you teach them at that time. I said, Brother Kendallin, I've got a question for you. We're eating a meal at once. I can tell you, this is exactly what we're talking about. I said, I just left the church 6 months ago and started going to this room. I said, there is something I don't understand. So what's that saying? I said, they canceled the radio programs, they canceled the TV programs. I don't know why they would do that. But I said, the rumor that I heard was that said that they were shooting those ministries down because they were the ministries of that man. That was Brother Forrester. That was Brother Forrester Raven. I don't remember who the other took it down. I'm 18 years old. That's in 1962. I did not have to face that reality again until December of 1999. But I believe God the Holy Ghost brings things to your remembrance. Do I have a desire to be on television? Would God be an eyewitness? You take 25 years, multiply that times 52. That's how many times we've been on television in 25 years. God be my witness. I don't believe I've watched 20 of those programs total in 25 years. But I remember what that pastor told me. He said, if that was that man's ministry, we should have never been. Think about it. If that was that man's ministry, it should have gone on, and it should have never been. That resonated in my heart and in my life. When he walked out of his place being a sweetheart to go to Russia, I could go through a lot of things. But you remember how that the hurricane hit us. We were out of this building for 1 year. We had church in the garage. The TV people have been coming to me, telling me, analog is going out. We don't have good, I could go digital. And they told me, said, it's going to cost me about $1 million. It was a joke to me. We're trying to make salaries. We're trying to pay for a family that goes out on an air conditioner. And you're talking about $1 million? I never committed. I never answered. One day, and it had to be done. One day, they come to me again. And my answer changed. I said, we will do it, but I don't know when. We will do it, I do not know when. I'm telling you what, my mouth was like God. If there's anything you're responsible for, you're responsible for keeping your word. If you're going to keep it, don't say it. Come to me. Destroy this building. Pull off from it. The insurance company called him and said, we're going to send you. I don't remember what the amount was. He said, we think you lost songbooks. You may have lost pews. We're going to send you that money for that. We've got so many claims, we cannot even come and look and see what you've lost. I called that man. I told him, I said, you got to come. We've got television equipment. We've got television equipment. He said, oh, I didn't know that. When they came over, and we did all, I'm talking about being led by the Spirit of God. I don't have the desire to be on TV. I don't even want to be on it, as far as a desire. But you do the whole counsel of God. You take the good and the bad. Say, come in. Shannon, my wife, myself, Brother Sister Castle. We sit around that table. When we got through, they paid us $1.8 million for the repair of this church after that television call. Do you know what it cost us? Do you know what our deductible was on $1.8 million? $250. $250. If I wanted to be on TV, I wouldn't be any better than these other side preachers. Preach the gospel. Preach the word. Preach the word. Have it in that heart. There was something about an intervention of God. Hello? I could give you multiple testimonies of every bit of this. But whatever God does, God is willing to make every man is no respect for persons. What God is wanting to do is to make every man a son of God. That's what he wants. What do you think Jesus would expect to hear from you if he said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? What's in your heart? Do you want to be like that preacher that has told you that place? I heard on the radio this morning that there is a man that has a big farm. I mean, big farm. They gave the name of what these people are that work for him. All that he's got to do is desire. They use this example. If he wants 12 Rolls Royces, then I can do 12 Rolls Royces. If he wants a jet airplane, then I give him a jet airplane. I'm so glad for the training that I've had in my life. And I hope I've been able to get used to the training. Brother Kennedy was preaching one time. He said, you heard a man say, my faith got me a jet airplane. What did your faith get you? Brother Kennedy said, I wonder how much I see this for you. My faith got me straight seated from the morning to the other day. That's what my faith got me. God is trying to intervene in our lives. And if we're willing, he will make us. I said this, I want you to turn it again tonight. 1 Corinthians 12. Begin reading with verse number 4. There are gifts of the Spirit. There are fruits of the Spirit. There are people that do not know the Word of God. And they will make fun of you. Whatever. They say, somebody prays for me. Now I can show you the Bible where you can judge this and judge before it's time. Am I right? There's nothing before it's time. But he did say, by their fruits, you will know them. There's a lot of difference in being a judge and a fruit inspector. A lot of difference. And being a judge and a fruit inspector. I can show you in the Word of God where if there is a gift of the Spirit that's operating, the Bible says that others say. Right? Not everything. Because it says the work of God is the work of God. But I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 12, begin reading with verse 7. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Not everybody in here gives messages sometimes. Not everybody here interprets messages in tongues. Not everyone prophesies. Well, let me read it. And there are differences of administration, but the same one. And there are diversities of operations. It doesn't always look the same, sound the same, smell the same. There are differences of administrations with the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations with the same God which works all. You know, God gave these instructions because there are things that people do not understand and they do not know. One of the most wicked cities on this earth was Corinth. And God told Paul, he said, when you go, I've got many people in this city. I've got a lot of things I'd like to say, but I need to go on. And verse 7. If the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit the Lord. Verse 8. For to one is given how? That's okay, let's go back. For the one is given by the Spirit of God the word of wisdom. It's important that we get this. We are a Pentecostal church, a spiritual body. But do we not all do the same thing? The operations are different. the administrations are different. I think that some things would be very healthy for us. And that is if we get good old-fashioned dose of the fear of God. He said the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Sometimes the fear of God may not do anything other than fear of God. One of the things that always stuck with me, always stuck with me, always stuck with me, please understand when I say always, is that whatever goes on in this place, I believe God gives me the first responsibility and accountability to make sure it's not the world's place to begin. There are issues I've prayed about. I've wept over. I've searched dictionaries. I've looked through commentaries or whatever. I still don't have all the answers. And I don't know how God works. Do you know that God pays attention to everything that you do? Don't raise your hand. But have you ever called a person, even a Christian, a fool? The Bible says if you call one a fool, you're in danger of hell. I didn't like that. We need the Holy Spirit to baptize us, to bring our minds, our hearts, and across our lives into the obedience of God, like a person to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, divers kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Let me stop right here, students. I've seen such abuses. I've got a preacher for you, pastors and church. We have one man in his church that can interpret messages. Only one can do it. Only one. You know who I'm talking about. Only one. One. I have been in services at that church for 500 and 600. God being my eternal witness. That old man, he had to be. I don't know how he had to be in his 80s. And that one man was about in the 80s or so. He was. I've seen him be sound asleep. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I've seen him with his head dropped over, sound asleep, and you let a message in tongues come, and he lifts up his head, gives his interpretation, and goes back to sleep. You know what I'm talking about. God gives civilly as he wills. God is so full of the law of ways. We're going to have a change in mind. We're going to have a change of mind. Look at the rest of this reading. Verse 11. But all of these workers, that one and the self same spirit, dividing to every man severally, as he will, as he will, as God the Holy Ghost will. For as the body is one, then hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Look at it. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew, Gentile, or whether we be bond or free, and have been made all made to drink into the same Spirit. How much more clear can it be that in God's own way, God is working, so He's making it possible for everything that is God's mind and God's will for this church to be done? Father, use this to come. There is something about unity that slips us. At the top, the Tower of Babel, God said, I was going to confound the language, because if we don't do it that, there would be nothing restrained for them to do as everything that they can ask to do. As we've got the Holy Ghost, it's time to bring us into the unity of the body of Jesus Christ. You believe that? When he confirmed their language, that tower lost its goal and purpose. But God said it's good for the church to dwell together in unity. Only 10% of the body that I'm thinking of. And I think I know this about you. I'm not going to operate as church to satisfy you. Thank you. I'm going to pray that we will be in one man, of one accord. I'm going to pray that we will all be in the self-same spirit. I'm going to pray that God will talk to say the same thing to all of us. God said, what I say to one, I say to all. I received a phone call. I don't know which day it was. Which one did it came from? Good call me back. What did I say to you? Jesus came running out of the country. Jesus came in that introduced me to those projectors. I don't know how many of those projectors don't pass right now. They use them in people, in words. They use them all over the workforce. We could have them with all over. But those are guys that work with the Spirit of Christ. He didn't like me. I know he did. He never told me that, but I know he did. But there's one thing that you do. You do all things in the love of God. I had three other directors with me in a telephone conversation with this young man because we were talking about this projection. And that guy got so mad at me. He screamed, "Will you go get your little father?" He called the projector. "You go get your little father. You're changing and you're doing this and all that." And he slammed the phone down. One of those directors, we were going to the conference call, call me back. He said, "Oh, no, sir. Can I call that guy back?" I said, "What's for? I can't tell you who to call or not to call. If you don't call him on my behalf, I don't need your help. I can't tell you to call him or don't call him. I've still got that slammed down phone ringing in my ear. That same one, real crazy. Tony said the biggest mistake I've made in my life was to fight you. So that's a multitude of people. Can't just understand those devices. I thought he said the fact that he explained to Brenda how to have a package the other contract with the device. The Tony said just last week, I'm going to have a letter by the end of August. He said, "I really think we should have a service where we dedicate these Spirit of Christ messages." I've had the phone slammed in my ear, not being nice to the stories I'm telling. But the guy that slammed the phone in my ear didn't know. Listen to me. If you can't stand up for something, you don't need to be anything. If you're so shallow that you won't move by every wind of doctrine and the slide of men, I'm going to tell you about the conversation between that lady and her husband just before he died. She said, "Daddy, what do you want to do this for?" That was question number one. He said, "I'd left it the way I want." You know what he told me? "I've left it the way I want it. I believe you're not going to be with me, but he did." And he said, "When I left it the way I want it. I'm not going to change it. Slam your phone down. I've got a work to do. I've got a call of God. We need the Spirit of God to give us boldness. I'm not talking about being mean. God is trying to fill us with a very specific purpose. He has the call of God on our life, every one of our lives." I look around here. I look on this side of the church. Look at all these beautiful young people. Some are young married couples. Some are not that old. But tell you what, I want you to hear me now. don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're a boy or a girl. God has a call on your life. God has a will for your life. That goes for every one of you. What is your call? I don't know. I had to find my own calling. You feel the call of God, and there's only one way you can do it. You can say, I don't have the ability, I don't know what to do. Or you can have all the excuses, and you can surrender to God in this altar. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I know I'm not capable of it, but I surrender. I'm yours to take it. You're the master partner. I'm just a Lord. And make me after your will. When I came out of that upper room, about 130, you and I are still the results of what God did through that people. And God is not through yourself yet. God's got a will and a work. To Him, we need a divine intervention into the things of God. We need a divine intervention into this world by the Spirit of God. I want you to stand with your hands and say, Lord, I want you to fill me with your Spirit.